they murdered. All their friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast. Google Podcast, and Spotify. Well, an instant classic. Can we say that? I think we can. Instant classic. Who would have saw that coming? What a game. Like Coach Harbaugh said, it's not even a movie. You wouldn't have believed it even if it was a movie. Joining me as always, my buddy Josh. He didn't think they could get it done in Cleveland. They got it done. Josh, how you doing, man?
Call me right out. Well deserved. I'm glad they proved me wrong. What are we talking here? Maha Miracle game or what? Because if my memory serves correctly, if it was a movie, you wouldn't believe that one. So, oh my gosh, I don't even know where to start. I'm happy they proved me wrong in such dramatic fashion. But, dude, I want to ask you right away. Me and you, and how fitting is this? We're recording. It's the first snowfall of 2020/2021, the season of winter here in Maryland. So bringing up the snow game, me and you were at the Vikings game, remember?
That's right.
So obviously Maha Miracle's up there, the dramatic fending off the quick comeback from the Niners in the Super Bowl 47, that's up there. Where does this game rank? I'm going to start right away, because obviously you said it was dubbed game of the year by everybody. I mean, it just was ridiculous. Where does this rank on your top Ravens games all time? Like, just putting it out there. I mean, that's a tough one already, but man.
A top 10. I think it's honestly top 10, especially, I mean, this is definitely in the Lamar era. This is either number one or number two of the Lamar era. I'm thinking this game and the Seahawks of the Lamar era are ones that you can go back and watch at any point. This one, it was, you know, at the beginning of the season, remember we were talking about this, how I kept saying, I miss the drama. I don't want this team to beat any of these guys, you know, 50 plus points and not, you know, I don't want to see RG3 out on the field. I want the drama. This is a football game. This is why you watch football. I loved this game. This was so much fun. What an intense game. It had you on the edge of your seat. This is why you watch football.
Exactly. I mean, again, if you want to take rooting interest out of it, from a football standpoint, incredible game. I mean, everybody is just – everybody. I mean, social media, text messaging – everything blew up from the ups and downs of the game following the emotions. Again, man, I don't know where you start. I mean, I'm at a loss for words, tripping over my words. I don't even know where to start. I mean,
we need to start at the beginning, and we got to give props to Cleveland and Baker Mayfield, because that opening drive that Cleveland had, I got scared. You know, that opening drive, Cleveland just
like Home Alone, were you scared, Marv? Are you scared? You had to be concerned, right? Here we go. Nick Chubb went right down the field, scored a touchdown. You're like, but again, credit the Ravens. They countered with their own touchdown.
They did. Absolutely. So, but that opening drive, I was like, ooh, this one's going to be rough. Maybe Josh was right.
Yeah, I was not looking good. I mean, they literally went right down the field in the ease, and I'm like, oh, now we got to match them score for score. And we knew this was going to be one of those games, right? Far cry from a 38-6 drubbing in the week one, where the Ravens could have just basically do anything at will. Right. They sort of could in this one, but they were just matching the Browns 2-for-2. And you got to credit them, right? The Browns ain't the Browns of old. I mean, they got 9 wins still. Yeah, they're searching for their 10th. They're still game better than the Ravens right now. And I mean, the Browns are having a year. I mean, obviously they're logging, you know, they could lose out, still log their first winning season. non-losing season in a long time. I think they've had like 13 straight or some crazy like that. So, again, got to tip my hat to the Browns. And before we obviously get to the Ravens side and the drama of this game, not only that, but I don't know if you caught this, Brandon. Baker Mayfield, I have to tip my cap to him. We know, obviously, the injury with Trace McSorley and how the we all went down. We'll break everything down. But I was watching NFL Network Morning Football the next morning, as I always do, you know, following any games, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, whatever the games are. I can't find the clip, but Baker Mayfield was interviewed, and the first thing he mentioned, he basically wished Trace McSorley well, and he said he'd hate to see that happen to anybody.
That's so that classy. To That's me, very classy.
Yeah, so that one points for me being, you know, the rival that the Browns are, and obviously Baker, oh, we hate the Browns, hate the Steelers, hate the Bengals, hate anybody that basically faces the Ravens, but you got to really applaud that, man. I mean, again, these guys, they are competitors, they're humans, and the way that he came across like that, that was awesome, a class act. I'm happy that he reached out, you know, it before his interview, and then he just said, just again, he kind of alluded to the same thing, like, I mean, he was in it, he lived it, but he's like, you wouldn't have believed it. Like, it's truly a movie. This is one for the ages, man. I mean, and it was so aged. It was so awesome. It was shown again the next night on NFL Network. I watched the replay again, and I'm with a friend of mine last night watching it, and I'm like watching it intently. He's like, are you still nervous even though you know the outcome? I'm like, I'm nervous anytime I watch like the replay of the Super Bowl 47 when the Niners start coming back. I start yelling when something happens, or, you know, they miss a play or something. I say, even though I know the outcome, it's still intense. And, like I told you before, we don't know where to begin. Start the beginning, you know, score. They match score for score. Ravens took a 7-point lead to halftime. You had to feel great. I want to talk about that right away because I alluded to it on social media. Is the infamous, I call it the double dip. You call it what you want. What I mean by double dip is the Ravens deferred. And if you saw a stat before the game, they said the Ravens have a way better strong record when they defer. I don't know if they won the coin toss in the beginning game, but no matter what, whenever they either win the coin toss and defer, or pretty much bottom line is when they get the ball at the start of the third quarter, second half, they win more than they lose. So starting on defense, even though I know the Browns went down and scored the touchdown, when they get the ball back at half, they do a lot better. And when the Ravens, it was tied 14, when the Ravens scored, you know, last in the first half to end it, pretty much, it was 21-14. I said, okay, even if you double dip, no matter what I mean by double dip is having the last possession of the first half, scoring, or scoring last in the, no matter what, scoring last in the halves, don't let the other team score, you get the ball back and either put 3 or 7. So you can either double dip and go anywhere from 6 to 10 to 14 points or get nothing. So the Ravens scored 21-14. Yeah, I feel great. And I literally said it. I was like, all right, here's where you double dip, get 7 out of the gate, then you're up 2 scores. And pretty much, you know, not the game's over at that point, but you have a stranglehold on the game with a 2-score lead, in a 14-point lead in the third quarter. So what did the Ravens do, bro? They go right down the field and put 7 on the board, just as I said, and 28-14. And then not only that, but then they had another lead at 34-20. So they had 2 14-point leads. This year, when the Browns came back, man, I had shades of 2014 divisional playoffs in New England where we had a 14-point lead twice and lost that game. So that brought back bad memories there. I'm thinking, like, are we really going to lose this game after being up 14 twice? Like, right. I can't relive this again. Like, no, I can't do it. So for the outcome, he was in the Ravens' favor. Obviously, they overcame the odds. There was a lot to unpack here. I'm going to start off with the weaknesses, man. The glaring weakness, what about this defense? This defense got carved up all night long, running game, passing game. Me and my dad were watching it. They were getting carved up, if you noticed it, on that left side. I don't know what was up with that. I know Jimmy Smith went down, and I know Dez Bryant alluded to it online, number 33. He entered the game. He was getting picked on the whole game. That the both pass and The passing game against the Browns passing game against our secondary proved to be the better of the deal. Our secondary is usually locked down.
Yeah.
I don't know what was up the defense, but the defense played uncharacteristically porous, and I was a little bit disappointed in that. I mean, you know, from being a top unit most of the season, it was a little out of Ravens' character. I don't know what was up with that, but starting with the kind of the bad and the ugly there, I didn't like at all what I've seen with the defense from this game. They got to shape
think,
up.
Do you think it's just wear and tear because we're later on into the season?
Could be a possibility. Yeah, I mean that bodes well for the whole team.
Because there's nobody missing from the COVID list anymore, right? Everybody's back.
No, so, as far as the defense is concerned, they were relatively healthy.
Okay.
I mean, obviously, on the offensive side, we're missing Stanley and all that. But so far, I mean, we haven't had that major blow, an injury for the defensive sake. So, Right. Yeah, everybody was back last night. I mean, Judon was back. You had, you know, Brandon Williams, Calais Campbell was active with his injury, Derek Wolfe. Yeah, you had the whole defense intact. It just was very uncharacteristically not Ravens defense-like at all. What we're accustomed to, especially this year, where they've still been a top unit, not the tops, but they've still been great in the run defense. They've still been great. But not only that, but given what they have been great at, it really sucks that the forced fumbles did not fall their way, because they had that ball punched out three times.
Three times.
They're so good at that, aren't they?
Yeah.
But we were alluding to it. Me and my dad were talking. What gets them in trouble is they kind of do it over the top sometimes. Like, they just keep going for the punch instead of timing it, or picking and choosing the battles instead of, like, they keep – I feel like the Ravens do that all the time instead of, and whiffing on a few tackles. So I always say proceed with caution with that, but they have a league-leading 24 forced fumbles this year. The next two closest teams are tied at 16, the Falcons and Browns, respectively. So – the Ravens are very good at their craft with forcing fumbles. Unfortunately, they didn't bounce their way, but then the Ravens almost coughed it up themselves on a crucial drive where Dobbins dropped the ball, but Bradley Bozeman fell on it and created a second and one out of it. So, you know, the ball was dropped quite a few times, and literally and figuratively with our receivers, you know, keeping in the trend with the bad and the ugly before we get to the good and the great about this game is, I know Hollywood got his redemption at the end of the game, and obviously we'll touch on that play and how spectacular it was, and it's forever ingrained in Ravens history in the moment. But not only that, but when Trace McSorley put it right on him, and he dropped a crucial third down play to get the first down, maybe more. And not only that, but early in the game with Amar, Hollywood had the drops, and it just, again, it was not boding well for him all night, being that, you know, he's being relied on heavily in the passing attack, and being that he's one of the go-to guys. And but apart from the defense and then some of the miscues there on offense, that's some of the things I'm very concerned going forward. I mean, this team isn't crisp and sharp by any means, but, you know, who is? I mean, you know, you can pick apart the 27 Patriots went undefeated. I feel like you can pick apart anybody. But to me, I'd like to hear what you saw, but to me, those are the weaknesses I saw coming out of this game, even though obviously it was a wildly entertaining game and the Ravens did ultimately win the game. Many issues still are present that we can't just dismiss. You know, they are 8-5. We know where they stand. You know, everything's set up for them to be successful for the playoff push. But for right now, they do have a lot of work to do, and it's far from being polished.
I'm hoping that last week's game against the Cowboys and now this game will be helping this team kind of have fun again on the field, because you could tell those losses definitely weighed heavy on them. COVID definitely has been on their shoulders as well, trying to figure all of that out. So they're having fun again, which is really good. And you could tell on Monday that these guys wanted to work and they wanted to be out there on the field. You know, Lamar had his issues towards the end of the game, and he still came back and came out and did his thing at the end and at the very last second. So these are all good things for the Ravens going forward. You brought up Derek Wolfe. I do want to bring him up again. A couple weeks ago, I brought up that you know, not that he was a detriment to this team, but it always worried me when he got hurt that in every game it seemed like he was always missing a play or two. And I want to go back to what I said, because I think it was Captain Defense posted about him earlier this week, and I didn't see it this way. And after Captain Defense posted this, I'm kind of like, you know what? That's a really good point, and I have to agree with him. Yes, Derek Wolf does get hurt and misses a play or two, but he always gets back up. And I missed that a couple weeks ago. And that's a really good point, is that you can knock Derek Wolf down. Yes, he does get hurt a lot. However, he always comes back, and he always does his work, and he's showing other teammates what they can do. And yeah, he misses a couple plays, or he has to miss a game because of a concussion or whatever, but he always comes back, and he always comes back stronger. And I left that part out. I didn't think about that. So Derek Wolf is really showing what he can do. He does have the heart, which a lot of players don't have anymore in this league, unfortunately. But Derek Wolf definitely has the heart to be a Raven here. So that's really good. I want to see that.
No, absolutely. And you bring up something, too, that I did hear whispers that the Ravens, under the radar, are trying to get something done long-term with him because they do like him, like what he brings. So that could be rooming the scene maybe some point in this offseason. Don't know, obviously, if anything would get done now during the season. I know some deals sometimes do happen during the season, just like a Marcus Peters or anything like that last year. But I like to see Derek Wolf. I mean, we get injuries are part of the game. When you're an oft injury player, injured player, it really puts scrutiny on you, and you're looked at differently because it's like, do we want to invest the money when you're oft injured? You can't stay on the field. So it's an interesting conversation to have with Derek Wolf. Singling him out, but I certainly feel overall he would still be a great addition here for a few years.
Yeah, absolutely. And talking about the offense, we do have to talk about, like you said, Hollywood Brown. He's been a guy that, you know, we've been talking a lot about this year, and this is his sophomore year. You know, there was a big deal that on the offseason he put a bunch of muscle on, that he was trying to get a little bit bigger. But we saw, like, it's like glimpses of greatness with this guy. We saw him at the end of the game, and what him and Lamar were able to do, like you said, it goes down in infamy. It's going to be a huge piece of lore for the Ravens. But it's crazy how at the beginning of the game, he looks a little shaky. It's kind of like, you know, he kind of has to get warmed up almost to really do anything great. And we saw him with Trace McSorley in the Cowboys game. We saw what he can do at the end with Lamar. If this guy could put a full game together, he definitely would be dangerous. But it's just kind of like, it's glimpses of greatness right now with him.
Yeah, man. You're just seeing that all over. It's something that's been a concern, especially notating it week to week. He hasn't been the producer as he was last year. I mean, it's crazy. You remove a screw in his foot, he gained some pounds and doesn't look like the same player. Last year, I felt like he had a way – obviously, he did. He had a way better year. Yeah, jury's still out. Being his second full season, we want to see more. We don't want to write him off after 2 years. But just like Lamar having a down year, and it goes with everybody. So, I don't feel that he's utilized to the fullest extent. I mean, you look how the Chiefs utilized Tyreek Hill, same type of skill set and player, even basically almost the same size. And I feel like the Ravens look at him as a true number one receiver. He's not. When I think of a true number one receiver, I think of an A.J. Brown, a D.K. Metcalf, who the Ravens could have drafted because those players got drafted after Hollywood, and they're balling out respectively. So that's kind of what I look at. I mean, right now I think Mark Andrews is a true number one receiver. Even though he's labeled as a tight end, he receives the ball. He's a pass catcher. So I feel like right now and then Dez Bryant in the mix, he's coming back. So, that's going to add to it. So I feel like even right now, just with Dez's skill set, he could be somewhat number one. But right now I would say maybe Willis needs the number one receiver because I feel like he makes big play after big play under the radar. No one really talks about it. He stepped up huge with McSorley on a crucial third down and long, and he caught the ball. So for a first down, that was huge. to keep the drive alive and to sustain that for the Ravens' success at the end of the game. So, yeah, I mean, Hollywood, you know, he was vocal about it, right? You know, so, you know, I want my soldiers need to get used around here. Well, catch the ball. Again, he caught it when it mattered. It was a crucial, eventually, I thought it was a game winner. It really wasn't. But it was an integral part of the game. You know, put the Ravens up 7, and obviously the Browns tied it. But just do more than that. We want to see more. We want to see you go up and attack the ball. We want to see you run crisp routes. And, you know, again, it could be fundamentals, and we get it. The NFL receiver's hard. That's why me and you aren't playing the NFL. It's probably a really hard job. You know, only a few select get to do it. But it's easy for us to criticize and critique. But when we see the effort, and we can watch you on TV and see it every week, especially when we compare to last year, and we get it, right? You know, Lamar kind of had the MVP year and everybody else followed suit, you know, and then this year he's kind of had he has had a down year, and everybody goes the way Lamar goes, but it remains to be seen. Hollywood certainly needs to step it up. But who doesn't need to step it up, bro? How about this running attack? We say it week in, week out. And I remember, even though I you called me out in the beginning, and I know, I didn't say the Ravens had a chance. I just didn't see them winning the game.
Right.
But I did say, proceed with caution, because the team that will run the ball the best will win that game, because they were both running first teams. And then they passed second. And even though we know the Browns took it to us in the beginning of the game, and Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, they were forced to be reckoned with. They proved deadly in that game. And they were all over the field making plays. Ravens pretty much couldn't stop them, keep them at bay. It was kind of like a Derrick Henry split in two. You know, they were just a dual threat. So, but the Ravens, again, for the fourth time this year, 200-plus rush yards as a team. They still lead the league in average rush yards per game. They're tops. Dude, they're a monster. What many more is to be said with this group? Dobbins, Edwards, Lamar, Mark Ingram obviously fading out into the sunset quickly. Sucks for him, but obviously he's starting the game because of his status as veteran, I guess. I don't know what's up with that, but we already know Dobbins is the future. I'm going to cut to the chase, man. Ingram's got to be out. Dobbins got drafted this year. Obviously, he's the future back. Dude, pay Edwards. I know Edwards is, I think, a restricted free agent at the end of this year. You got to retain Edwards. He's going to be that kind of a compliment to a Dobbins. Edwards is an upright runner. I love how he runs, how his vision is. You know, he's that bigger back, and Dobbins is that smaller back who can also can pass catch, get in there when it matters. He's smaller. Obviously, he's wearing Ray Rice's number 27. Looks just like him when he plays. So, I mean, literally, you can watch highlights of Ray Rice's heyday and watch Dobbins. It's literally the same player.
Yeah.
Just different name on the back of jersey. Not kidding. Same number. It's just really weird. But that's the way I look at the running game going forward in 2021. But that's another thing we still got to get through this year. The running game, dude, we could talk about a whole show of just the running game.
It's phenomenal. Working. It's working. Phenomenal. Keep going with it. Keep using it. It's working.
But yeah, keep working. But what did Greg Roman do? And again, this is the emotions of the game, of the downs and ups. Moments before we get to the ending of the game and all that and the emotions involved, because obviously I want to spend a quite a bit of time talking about that sequence, right, of the fourth quarter and beyond until the end of the game. But focusing on when McSorley's in, right, fast forwarding, you're calling great plays. He threw a crucial third down catch past the Willie Snead. You know, he threw some good passes there. Some of them were – you know, not so good, but they ran the ball effectively with him in there. You run it all the way down. It's 3rd and 2. Why on earth is Greg Roman putting the fate of the game in a quarterback option? Does he think Lamar Jackson just magically showed up in the game and play early? Like, Greg Roman, I'm happy we won the game because – I'm telling you what, be honest with you, if we'd have lost this game, I know it's just the game, we talk about that, but this one would have irked me for a while if we'd have lost this game. Again, 2 14-point leads and lose, I would have been Mr. Grumpy Pants probably till Christmas. So just putting it out there, people. But when Greg Roman called that play, And I'm not even talking about the injury, which I'm hoping he's okay. It sucks it happened. But then it was even more salt to the wound when you call a stupid play like that, and then he gets hurt. I'm literally hands on my head, freaking out, looking at my dad, and I'm like, oh, no, who's going to quarterback this team right now? We're done. Mm-hmm. Done. We're completely done. And then I was like, you just ruined his season for calling a stupid play. I'm glad we won the game, but it doesn't discount the fact that Greg Roman was so dumb. What are you doing, my friend? Like, that's just frustrating. Like, and if you look at the replay, and I've watched it 20 times in a row, again, I can't speak for the play because it didn't happen, but if you look, I will be on the side to say that Gus Edwards would have got that first down and much, much more on the left side if he'd have gotten it in his hands. But McSorley pulled it back, and he tried to go up the middle. He is not Lamar. Greg Roman is not Lamar. Please get your head out of your rear end, my friend, man, because that was not cool. That was not cool at all, bro. What were you thinking when you saw that play call? Not the injury, obviously, that came after the fact, but when you saw that play call, what was going through your mind? Were you feeling the same kind of sentiments I was, or what was up?
I mean, I think at that point I had stopped breathing for a couple minutes already because I was already like freaking out that the way this game was going. So
yes.
I mean, you know the gif of was it Sully from Monsters, Inc., where he's like looking through the window and he just kind of passes out, and then he looks through the window again and passes out again. That's how I felt during these plays.
Oh, dude, and that's how I felt like the most of the fourth quarter, the whole game, back and forth, heavyweight bout with these two teams, and just following the emotions of it, man. And you got God bless Dez Bryant. I know he didn't play in this game. He's going to play in the next one. He's off the COVID reserve list. He's eligible. But what about Dez Bryant? You have to feel, you know, obviously he hasn't played in 2 weeks. He wasn't part of the game, but he's still part of the team. But getting him, his reactions during the whole game on social media were awesome. Everybody's reactions were the ups and downs of like the old no's, the old yeses, the you got to be kidding me's, the joy, the elation at the end. But just covering the fourth quarter, man, when Lamar goes out, Ravens are up big. I personally didn't think it was a big deal because I'm like, all right, I was clapping and I was like, look, and I wasn't clapping that Lamar's out. I was clapping like this. I said, okay. I was clapping for kind of, all right, guys, you're up 14. Lamar's out of game. Just manage the game. Why don't you hand it off to your workhorses behind you, Edwards and Dobbins. You know, be efficient. Manage the clock. Let's get out there with the win. And whatever happened with Lamar, we'll figure it out. And I personally felt in my gut it wasn't serious. Obviously, we know it wasn't end result. But I'm thinking, like, I was like, well, he didn't get hurt. And I was, like, thinking back through the plays that we've seen. And I'm like, they didn't show him on sideline. And then being that he's the player of caliber that he is, if there was any inkling of an injury, all eyes would have been, the camera would have been on him. The reporting would have been sooner when the reporting was kind of like, we don't know. He's back there with cramps. And I'm like, that's why I'm like, cramps? He's the only player on the field with cramps at this point in the game? Like, I don't know. I mean, again, the guy said we heard he slept for 10 straight days when he had COVID, didn't really do anything else. So maybe his body did cramp up, and being that it was cold up in Cleveland, the lake effect cold, who knows? I can't speak for him. He only knows how he feels, but I mean, he was
slipping a lot too during this game. I mean,
that was frustrating, wasn't it? Like change the cleats, man, like go to the equipment manager, change the cleats. And we don't know if that attributed to the muscle soreness late in the game where maybe he had his muscles tensed up because he had to keep his balance. That could be a factor, man. We don't know. But I'm gonna focus on the theory here because we get it. A lot of fans and certain media and players are on this theory that Lamar didn't have the cramps. He had cramps of another kind, right? So –
you're right.
Everybody said maybe he had to relieve. I don't know what's up. I mean, Lamar was interviewed at the end. He said he got an IV. He was stretching. A lot of folks were looking at the tape of him like kind of like jogging back into the locker room. They're like, that doesn't look like a cramp kind of little trot there. So I love the folks that are breaking down the play-by-play of his little escapade in the back in the back annals of the tunnels there. But I don't know. But cramps – he had the NIV, whether he did or didn't, had to go to the bathroom, whether he did or didn't. It was kind of like, dude, you couldn't script it up more perfect. Like, it was like he goes out in the fourth quarter. The The Ravens blew the lead. The game's down to the final play, the final down of fate. They're on the fringe of Justin Tucker's field goal range. I think they were probably out of it. It's probably why I had to go for it because of that play. And what were your emotions at the end of the game? Like you said, like you're already on edge going back and forth with this game. McSorley goes down. They call a dumb play like that. It's fourth down. There's no quarterback, and then you're like, they have to obviously go for it because they can't kick a field goal. Punting it, the game's over. Who's going to quarterback this team to get 5 yards? Like, what was your emotions from that point on to the end of the game? Like take me through that roller coaster ride. Like, what was going on? Like,
well, I kept thinking when Lamar was coming back onto the field, do you remember during The Replacements, that movie, when Keanu Reeves comes out during the second half at the end of the movie to kind of save the team? That's what it kind of looked like with Lamar coming back onto the field. And that Justin Tucker field goal, you know, like we said last week, when you have Justin Tucker as your kicker, like it usually feels like a guarantee that you're going to win and he's going to do whatever he can. But remember last week he had that missed field goal and he missed an extra point. So
Indiana went blocked last night.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So at that point, you're kind of thinking like, yeah, I'm confident Tucker can do it, but there's still that thought in the back of your mind was like, oh, but he did miss just recently. He had one block just this game. Can he do it? But then Justin Tucker shows up, does what he has to do, and wins the game. I mean, nothing more Justin Tucker than that. So it was a movie. Like Harbaugh said, like it's something that even if you saw it on a movie, you wouldn't believe it. But I mean, this is what this Ravens team is all about. This is a roller coaster, and you absolutely love it. And I had faith that the Ravens could win on Monday, even as this all was happening. And it was a great game. Cleveland, I mean, seeing the Cleveland fans afterwards as they were, you know, slumped over and just in shock as well. I mean, I think they even know that they were kind of like a part of history, even if they're on the wrong side of it right now. But it was just wild. I just couldn't get over it. And I was so happy after Tucker won it that I was like, all right, I can go to bed happy now. Like, that was the best part too. It was like, all right, I'm going straight to bed. Happy dreams tonight. I can't wait for that. Because I mean, you needed that sleep after a game like this, because you were just so worn out and stressed. You just wanted to take a nap after.
Dude, you're right. I mean, we all were just worn out from the effects of the game, the emotions. It's, you know, it is exhausting, right? You're just like, you finally, no matter if it was, obviously if it was a loss, would be way more disappointing going to bed a little sad, but you know, but it's like at the end when it's over like that, you're like, finally, it's like a relief. But when you wake up, you can wake up fully knowing that all the media is gushing over you now, the game of the year, Ravens come out on top, Lamar's awesome again, you know, they knocked off the Browns, they swept them. You know, they're right back in it. You know, the Ravens are 8-5. That was their hardest game now with the stretch run here in December, on schedule. So now it's like they finally got that out. So now what? So for me, it was I compare my feelings to the Mile High Miracle. When I say that, right, because everybody's like, you can't compare this game to Mile High Miracle. I personally can, because I felt the way I felt. Again, it was up there because just like the Mile High Miracle, dude, I'll be honest with you. I didn't give us a chance. No one gave us. You can't sit there and say, well, I believe. No, no one believed. I know everybody was chanting no weapon and all that, and the war cry and all that. But Ravens get the ball down in that game. We're talking 2012 divisional game. Down 30 seconds, down 7 with no timeouts. That team wasn't going down the field. Like, they actually needed that miracle play. Like, so, you know, obviously equating it to the emotions, similar to you, right? You know, Lamar goes down. Okay, he was in for the first series, and then the longer the quarter went on, my phone's blowing up. Like, everybody's asking me what happened to Lamar. Like, I know. I'm like, I have no clue. The reporters don't know on ESPN. What are you asking me for? I'm flipping out. Like, where's Lamar? What the heck's happened with Lamar? Like, is he hurt? What's going on? We need Lamar. Like, come on. And I almost couldn't enjoy the fourth quarter because, like, I'm getting agitated. And then I'm scaring. I hate to be on my phone during a game anyway, very limited, because I like to get engaged and watch the game. But at that point, I'm scouring everything I can on the Twitterverse and trying to, you know, follow the beat writers of the Ravens, try to follow the plan here and seeing, like, is there any little nuggets I have on Lamar? Like, Is he hurt? Is he not? What's going on here? Like, couldn't find anything. And I'm like, well, the longer this half goes on, if they don't lose the lead, we'll be fine. And then when the Browns start coming back and they pull within eight, I'm like, all right. And then you had to feel, okay, they need at least two to tie it. And then they got it. So it was like, you know, because it was 20-20 and the Ravens got to 34. And you're like, all right. And then Lamar goes down. And then when they came back and it's, you know, it's just, it was 34-28. They're down six. And then they took the lead by one. And then that's when I was just like panicking, like, all right. And then I kind of just started getting frustrated. Like, I went from anger to frustrated because I'm like, dude, now we're losing by one. Lamar's nowhere to be found. Trace McSorley can barely get us down the field. Oh, no. Like, we're going to lose this game. I'm going to be grumpy. Like, this sucks. This just sucks. And McSorley goes down on the play. They call the play call. So I'm already screaming at TV, Roman, why are you calling that play? And then he's holding his knee, and I'm on the floor, like, flabbergasted. Like, you got to be kidding me. Like, who's going to quarterback this team? So we're really going to put Sam Cook out there? Like, are we really going to run the punter out there on a fourth down play and try to pull out a miracle? And just like Dez Bryant said, here comes Superman right on time, right? Like, literally like a movie. Like, it's like they did on purpose. I told you, it's like, let's hold out Lamar for some drama all the way in the fourth. Let's lose the lead on purpose. Oh, and when the game's on the line, let's put the MVP back in there. Like, oh, here I am. Hello. Like, he just comes out of the locker room like he was watching it back there on purpose, like laughing. And it's like, okay, it's fourth down. I'm coming back out, guys. Don't worry. And not only that, Brandon, but not only that, but if you break down the play, yes, the ultimate play was a touchdown, which was amazing in its own right. But the Lamar effect and what I wanted to talk about was the play. Lamar could have easily ran it for a first down. If you really watch the play, he had 10 yards in front of him. He only needed five. He could have easily got it, gotten out of bounds. And at that point, the Ravens were only down one. Field goal wins the game. So I'm thinking, like, Lamar, run for the first down. Maybe don't get out of bounds because it stops the clock. And the Browns at that point had all three timeouts. You get the first down. Maybe try to or slide in bounds after you get the first down. Make them use their timeouts. Maybe get another first down, melt the clock, and then you kick your field goal and you're win by two and you're done. You know, and that's kind of how I saw it. But when I seen him running to his right and start to throw the ball, immediately I'm thinking, someone better be wide open because he better not be forcing that ball in traffic. Because I'm like, because when he let go of the ball, Brandon, at the exact moment, I'm like, what are you doing? You could have ran. And then I see Hollywood going. I'm like, never mind. Go, go, go. And I'm like, yelling at the TV, like, okay. And then after I got to watch the replay over and over again after in the aftermath, I was kind of like, this is the Lamar effect. And I got into talking with a few friends of mine and noticing that Lamar is scary accurate when you roll him out of the pocket and get him kind of playing that rollout ball, throwing the ball down the field. Remember the play earlier to Mark Andrews for the first strike? Like, it was a deep ball. He was rolling out and he threw a pass and Mark Andrews found it in the zone defense. And then he ran it down near the red zone. And then ultimately Lamar ran it in from there.
Right.
Lamar is scary accurate on the run. And that's where he needs to make his money. I feel like when he sits back in the pocket and he tries to either, whether he's forcing it because he must approve to everybody as a pocket passer or the Ravens, as far as Greg Roman is concerned, wants to do the same. Baker Mayfield was kind of doing that all night too. Rolling out. You see Josh Allen do it. All these young quarterbacks in Lamar's draft class are rolling out, throwing on the run, getting moved. They're kind of like moving the pocket. Instead of moving the pocket straight back, they're moving it left to right, wherever they need to be comfortable with, and rolling it out, and it works. Roll out, reset, whether Lamar throws on the run or resets, it's working in his favor. I feel like they need to do that more. But that was awesome about that final play. Not only that, but again, the Ravens defense breaking again. The Browns had an eternity. They had pretty much the whole 2 minutes, right? They had three timeouts. Ravens defense couldn't hold them. They go out and allow the game tying touchdown with a minute left. Ravens again with one timeout of their own. Lamar leading down the field. What was amazing to me about this whole game, about this resilient win, was we knew Lamar gassed them all night with the runs. It was amazing. He actually set a record. He had the most rushing yards by a quarterback on Monday Night Football, 124. He beat Russell Wilson's previous record of 122. And not only that, but the Ravens collectively ran for over 200. So for all the lack of excitement and the lack of execution in Lamar's passing game, because it's but nowhere near polished, right? But what we saw with Lamar coming in, he was 5 of 6 with a touchdown pass. His incompletion was recorded because it was a down spike to stop the clock. He came in, threw a long touchdown pass to Hollywood. Dude, just imagine that. Just the emotions. He comes back in the game, 4th and 5, Mr. Cool, rolls out, flicks the touchdown like it's nothing. Like, are you kidding me? Can't write that up. Then he gets the ball with 1 minute left. He finally leads us. I'm not saying finally because he's done. I don't know. I have to look back on his career. I feel like he's done it before, but I'm not sure because most of the wins last year were blowouts. Like you said, there was no excitement. I have to look and see how many comeback wins or drive game winning drives Lamar Jackson actually has. If someone finds it, please let me know. But that was resilient in his own right. Then he throws it to, now, remember, they give the ball in the 25. He throws a 15-yard pass to Mark Andrews, his buddy, his number one target. Then he finds Andrews again, finds Willie Snead, and finds Andrews again. And that was all true. So he had 4 completions on the drive to get him in the field goal range. Then he had the 5th completion with the Hollywood connection with the touchdown. The dude, since he came back in the game in that 4th quarter, in that moment of the 2-minute warning, he got pass happy. And that was what was called. And the receivers helped him out. His tight end helped him out. That, to me, was a huge win. And to me, speaks volumes because now you know he can do something like that. It's not like you're relying on Lamar to run it 20, 30 yards and send everybody down the field. And you know Lamar's going to run it. He's going to run back there scared and they're going to play contain. No, he was back there zinging it, saying, okay, I'm going to trust you guys to catch the ball, run the routes, make the plays. They got in position. You trusted Tucker to make a 55-yard field goal, best in history to do it. I know he's had some miscues, not perfect, but he's the most accurate in NFL history by far. He's building what you could probably say, fair enough, a Hall of Fame resume for a kicker, as far as I'm concerned. The accolades are just long. Just the way that happened in that sequence, that makes you believe that the Ravens can stay healthy as they are right now with what they have and work on those weaknesses like we talked about, defense, miscues, dropping balls, running routes, get it together. This team could put together a run here at a wild card berth, playoff spot, and maybe win a game or two. Who knows? I don't know. Depends on the matchup they draw. Remains to be seen, but this game was wild. I recorded it. It's on my DVR. I recorded the replay and didn't record the actual game just because this one's going to live in Ravens history forever. I mean, I'm still searching a nickname for this game. If you have one, please let me know. I don't even have a name for it right now. I'm just in shock of just how it ended, the drama, the excitement, the anguish, the oh no's, the oh yeahs. We got the last laugh. Hey, it's at the end of the day, it's a clean sweep of the Browns in 2020. It's a marquee win because the Ravens beat a 9-3 team, on their way. And if you look at the schedule, how it remains, remember what we talked about prior to the Cowboys game. When the Cowboys lose to the Browns, you can win the next three, be 10-6. Now that they got the Browns out of the way, facing a Giants or Jaguars, Giants and Bengals, as it stands right now, Jaguars have 1 win coming to this weekend. The Bengals have 2 wins. They play them in 2 weeks. Giants, they're the Giants. They lost to the Cardinals. They're all sub 500 teams record wise. Ravens are 8-5. They have a chance to here to be at one time 6-5 football team record wise, and they can run the table and go 11-5, win 7 straight on route to a playoff. So the last time this team was kind of on that level and won, they were 5-4 and run 7 straight to a 12-4 record to a Super Bowl 35 championship way back in 2000. Can't compare years, but I'm just saying, if you think about it, teams done it before. Unfortunately, the Ravens didn't do it winning 12 in a row last year, couldn't win in the playoffs, but Ravens can carry. And like Lamar said, it's win or go home. It's playoff mode. They lose any of these games because the AFC is so stacked. 10 wins might not make it. 11 certainly probably could, and they have the best playoff chances right now, according to all the statisticians out there, to make the playoffs. Ravens are looking up after this huge win in Cleveland, man. And, dude, again, it's huge. It was playoff caliber, playoff atmosphere. Like, it lived up to the hype. One of the best classic Monday Night Football games we'll probably ever see. Probably one of the classic Raven games we'll ever see. Baker Mayfield, Lamar Jackson, you're going to get these two dueling twice a year for years to come in the North. I can't wait to see it happen. What a huge, huge win in dramatic fashion.
Yeah, this was, they said it on ESPN on Monday night that the Ravens season was on the line. If they didn't win in Cleveland, the playoff hopes were done. So for them to come away with a win, I mean, definitely improves their hopes for the playoffs. I think it makes their confidence go up completely, because it's always been these guys can't win from behind. They lose a lead, then they lose it and can never come back. They prove that they can do that now. They prove that Lamar can be the guy that you count on later in the game. He can play from behind. He can be the guy you need. I've heard two names for this game. I've heard the clutch in Cleveland, and I've also heard the holy crap game, for everyone's reaction and to what people are saying happened to Lamar and why he couldn't play the entire game. So there's some names for you, but this is a huge game. And like you said, looking at the future, we're not going to spend a lot of time talking about the Jacksonville game. I think one of the keys to the Jacksonville game, number one, is everybody needs to stay healthy. Do not get injured during this game. Let's continue this run. And this has got to be a big game for Calais Campbell. That was his former team. He came to the Ravens from there. So this has got to mean a little bit more to him. He's not 100% from his calf injury and from COVID. He's still having some lingering effects from both of those, the virus and the injury. But this team needs to play really hard for Calais Campbell. This should be a win. For all intents and purposes, this should very much be a Ravens win on Sunday. They're actually playing on Sunday, which is crazy. And they're going to be in Florida, you know, nice and warm. It's not going to be chilly. It's not going to be cold. So it's going to be nice and warm. I don't know what the forecast, if it's going to rain or not. But anyway, up against the all-elite Jacksonville Jaguars, the Jaguars. So
Jaguars.
Yeah, so
get
it's
a
up
little fancy now.
Yeah, exactly. But maybe you'll have Chris Jericho and a couple of the AEW stars in attendance for that game. You know, probably Jim Ross is going to be in town for that one as well. So this one's going to—he's got a lot of—he's a big Oklahoma fan, so he's got a lot of Oklahoma grads that play for the Ravens that he's got to be interested in seeing. So this is going to be a good game to watch. It's going to be a fun one. I'm predicting a Ravens win for this. I think everybody else is, but biggest thing is just stay healthy. Like we said, there's things that the team has to work on, but they can do that in this game. But we need everyone to stay healthy. No injuries in this next game. This is the home stretch. You know, this is the playoff push. These three games, while they look like the Ravens should win all three, these are not going to be easy by any means. But this one against Jacksonville, all signs point to a Ravens win, and let's hope we see that on Sunday.
Man, very confident, are you?
I am.
Who wouldn't be? It's Jacksonville. They've lost 12 straight. I mean, they haven't won since way back in week one. I mean, where the Ravens bought out. So, yeah, I mean, not to discredit this matchup and just say, oh, there's nothing to talk about. It's going to be a win. Let's call it a day. But, I mean, they got playmakers, right? James Robinson as the running game. We already understand that Gardner Minshew was starting. So, we're getting Minshew mania for this game, obviously. Mike Lennon was the previous starter for a few games there. You know, Doug Marone's option to go with Gardner Minshew. They got some receivers. They got playmakers. Their defense is, you know, broken up. We get it. But what I like to focus on this is we have two former Jaguars on the Ravens now, Calais Campbell and Yannick Ngakoue. So, again, this always happens when former players play their former team, or players play their former team, is – are they going to give secrets and tendencies away? It's probably to some point they're going to do it. They can't give everything away because, I mean, it's tough to predict. But obviously they played under that staff, Coach Maroon. They played with some of those players. So obviously Calais Campbell, Ngakoue, they can give tips on what the offense might be doing and tips and trends that way. It is sure a slight X factor, if you want to put it that way. I've always believed it is, because, hey, it's just like that, just like defecting. You come to our side, okay, well, what do they do? Well, pick the brains. Everybody says, oh, let me pick the brain, you know. So I mean, but a 1-12 Jaguars team, look what the Seahawks just did to them. It was 40-3 on Sunday. So I expect, if you really, again, you just alluded to it, nothing's given the NFL. The Ravens do have a cupcake schedule, if you want to call it that, to really make it 11-5 season a reality here and win the next three in a row. What I don't want is a close game. I feel like if you just want to take it one game at a time, I'm going to take it collectively. I feel like we could see, and I hate to see it because I want the Ravens to ball out, but we could possibly see a 2019 effect with Lamar sitting in the fourth quarter and Lord knows whoever's at quarterbacking, but I hope not. I don't know what's going to happen because it's like, well, then you want Lamar playing in meaningless quarters if you know you don't have to, if we're winning by 30 in the fourth quarter. But then it's like, at the same time, do you subject your backup, because we're already thin, razor thin there, do you subject the backup to get hurt in sitting Lamar just because he can sit? So it's a double-edged razor sharp sword. So I don't know how to see it. I don't know what's going to unfold, but yeah, I see this Jacksonville game taking game by game this Sunday, finally playing on a Sunday at 1:00. It seems everything's back to normal, right? Ravens are on Sunday at 1:00. Know where it is. No more late nights. No more, Tuesday moving the games, Wednesday. Now, obviously the Ravens have to test, but right now they kept it under wraps and they're good to go. Dez Bryant's back. So they put Trace McSorley on IR. Dez Bryant alleviated from the COVID-19 reserve list. He is cleared to go in action. So we're get to see number 88 throw up the X. Hopefully in Baltimore it's time for the third attempt at trying to get him to throw up the X. So I expect if we want to talk forecast for winter weather, I expect a heavy dose of throwing up the X for the Dez Bryant and against Jacksonville. And I think he's going to have a good game coming out for the Ravens on Sunday. But yeah, I see this being not a problem for the Ravens. Dispose of them quickly, get out of the way with 2 to play, and the Ravens will be 9-5 riding high on their 9th win. So yeah, it's all right in front of them. They just got to take care of business and again, stay healthy on the stretch run in December, getting hot and playing their best football and march to a playoff berth.
All right, everybody. Late breaking news, I guess to us at least. Josh and I actually got done the podcast, and then news decided to break. That seems to be the way it is sometimes with this show. But we were all ready to call it a game, and we were done with the Jacksonville game. But unfortunately, it looks like 3 Raven wide receivers have been placed on the COVID-19 list. We've got Hollywood Brown, who we've talked a lot about in this season, Miles Boykin, and James Prochet. So unfortunately, they will not be available on Sunday, and they are on the COVID-19 list, so they're going to be quarantining. This team has done a lot of quarantining and had a lot of outbreaks, but Josh, this one's got to suck. Now we've got 3 wide receivers that will be missing in action against Jacksonville. What does this mean?
Yes. I mean, it's detrimental to the wide receiving core, but I will say, trying to dig in here on Twitter, there's a lot to read between the lines, but apparently the players can still be eligible for Sunday.
Really?
If they test. Yeah, apparently. I'm trying to find it. Being that breaking news changes, let me find it real quick. I hate to scramble, but I'd rather get it accurate than say some stuff. Here it is. Jeff Cerebic of The Athletic. Per sources, and I'm reading his tweet live. Per sources, the Ravens have a positive test with the coach. As of now, 3 guys on the 3 guys that we just mentioned are put on the reserve COVID list, are close contacts. The contact came on Monday, so there still would be enough time for them to play Sunday, but they have to keep testing negative. So as it stands right now, they're on the reserve list as a precaution.
Oh, they're not positive. They came into contact with someone that's positive.
Yeah, gotcha. They're not positive. It's a close contact precaution. So
gotcha.
So we already got Dez back off the list. Needs come back. These guys are put on the list, and then apparently they got to keep testing negative. So remember, it was the Steelers situation all over again. Remember Big Ben? Big Ben didn't test positive, but he was close. Apparently, he had a close contact. So they just put him aside and said, because he was on the list for a few days, I think, if I remember correctly. And then obviously, so these players aren't positive. Let's just set the record straight. They have a contact trace, apparently. So they are it's a safe, better safe than sorry kind of deal. So that we don't have another wildfire spread again on the team. So right now, obviously, their status is in jeopardy, but it's promising. If they don't get it and they test negative all week, they'll be available on Sunday. Worst case scenario, if most of them aren't, or one of the two aren't, or if Hollywood's not, it's going to impact the receiving corps somewhat. But obviously, we know Dez is coming up. If we don't have anybody of these three, when the team obviously available on Sunday, the receiving corps, you're going to see a lot of Devin Duvernay, a lot of Dez Bryant, a lot of Willie Snead.
Absolutely. And it kind of sucks because Hollywood Brown is a guy that we've said has kind of had like an up and down year. And after that magnificent catch against the Browns, for him to potentially miss a game, that was going to set him back a little bit.
Oh, it would, man. It would be, of course, bittersweet to, you know, end the game on a really high note like that, be a contributing factor to one of the crucial scores and part of that play, and then not to be available against Jacksonville. Yes, we want the team relatively all together, right? You know, no COVID lists, no long-term injuries, but the saving grace, it is Jacksonville Sunday. I'd rather beat them at full strength than half strength or some strength, but we're not playing the Chiefs on Sunday, Brandon. So, if it remains that these guys are on the list, maybe we'll get away with not having a Hollywood Brown. I mean, we didn't have Lamar for the Steelers game and Andrews for the Steelers game. And I mean, I have Snead for the Steelers game, I think. So the Steelers game was kind of a big deal because we didn't have our heavy hitters. Not to discount these guys, but that was a Pittsburgh game. This is Jacksonville. But I want all of our guys there. I don't want anybody on any list. I don't want anybody hurt, anybody get this stuff. So, that's the impact of the team. But there's hope they can play Sunday. So let's hope for some negative tests all week, and these guys will be off the list.
Three games left, buddy. Three
games left.
NFL's
almost pulled it off. Three games left. Who'd have thought it? They're doing it. And we got through a crazy outbreak with the Ravens, and we still got through it. So, kudos to the NFL.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. Got to do that. But I don't know if you saw this or not, but they're actually saying no bubbles for the playoffs. They were talking about potentially doing local bubbles for teams where they wouldn't leave the hotels for like a week or so in between games. That is not happening. Apparently that is off the table. So there will be no bubbles. The teams will have to go to the hotel room like they do normally the night before a game, but that's it. So no bubbles for the playoffs.
Yeah. They made the decision. Yeah. And I mean, the NFL, I think I have to stand by it. I mean, they've gotten through the season relatively okay right now so far. Again, the Ravens outbreak is one of those one-offs because it was the worst severe case this year, but it's been contained. You have all the players back. And that was another X factor. We obviously, it's an obvious one, didn't need to be said, but having Mark Andrews back for this game was huge for the Ravens because we weren't going to get it done without him. As you've seen with play after big play after big play he did on Monday night, everybody's got to stay healthy and stay good, stay fit. It's huge for the Ravens right now and the NFL team to, you know, navigate this as best as they can. But I would say I'm surprised, but not surprised. I didn't think the NFL was going to, by the way, the bubble. It's because if they did that, I think they would have done it throughout the season, just like how the rest of the leagues did it. Remember, the NHL was in a bubble pretty much since they started back, weren't they?
Yeah, they did. Well, they pretty much ended their season early. And they did two hub cities, but it was just the tournament for the Stanley Cup. So it wasn't like the entire
league. It wasn't the season. Okay. Right. I couldn't recall that. So thanks for correcting me. And I feel like if it ain't broke, don't fix it, right? I feel like the Ravens was a one-off anomaly. It was contained. It was just in that team, in that city, for some odd reason, again, didn't spread like wildfire to other teams. Remember, we had two big instances, right? The Titans and the Ravens, respectively, having these crazy outbreaks and having to move around games. And I know the Steelers were impacted there somewhat because of opponents. But everybody's been impacted. I feel like every team in the NFL had at least one player who had it, or one staff member had it, not multiple. So it's worked its way through the NFL, but the NFL as a whole, got to give kudos to them, got to give kudos to the staff, the players of all the teams, doing their part. They're 3 weeks away from pulling off a full completed 16-game NFL schedule, which I personally didn't see it happening. So, and if they go to the playoffs and get through a month of playoffs and Super Bowl right now, stands February 7th, it's on schedule. down in Tampa, Florida. So we're going to get through it. We're going to get through it. But hey, Ravens closing out 2020, three more games, man. It went by quick. You know, we're not putting a bow in the season just yet, but Christmas is fast approaching. And hopefully we can get what we all want in Ravens Nation is a march to a playoff berth and keep the playoff party alive here in Baltimore. We don't want to be the outside looking in. We want to crash the party in January and start 2020 off right, kick 2020 to the curb, and start the 2020 playoffs in 2021, and hopefully the Ravens can be part of that. Don't see why not. They have it all set up.
I got new purple lights to put out when the Christmas lights come down, so I need some Ravens football in January.
Yeah, man, absolutely.
So, Josh, have we covered everything for this episode of The Call?
Quote the Raven, nevermore.
All right, guys, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. And Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always at ItalianGQ52.
Now go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. Plus, we're always sharing anything we find interesting or fun or anything, really. I mean, I shared a Russian Machine Never Breaks article that's usually covering the Caps on the Ravens, the Call Facebook page earlier this week because they're talking about Roberto Luongo had to run to the bathroom like, potentially Lamar may have
you,
had to do
when
that.
You mention Russians, I gotta keep saying I will break you. Gotta get Rocky. Gotta get Rocky on that.
I think that was my favorite Rocky too. Rocky
is that your favorite one? I think that's the one. That's the go-to one. I mean, they're all great, right? That, you know, any Rocky you probably watch is good, but yeah, that one I feel is on top of my list certainly.
I think that one, Rocky III, though, that might be my all-time favorite because that's the first one I ever saw. So that one might have to get the number one spot. I love Rocky III. And I saw it because I was a wrestling fan and Hulk Hogan was in it. So that's what got me into that one. So anyway, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcast, and Spotify. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok. Anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone, say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call and you should too. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, man, thank you as always. I hope you're ready for Christmas, man.
I'm getting there. I'm getting there.
But I also wanted to shout out at the end of the show. Speaking of a gift, Lamar Jackson, another accolade. He earned AFC Player of the Week honors for his performance on Monday. Now, I want to ask you this closing out the show. What do you think about this? Because in the same week, Derrick Henry ran for over 200 yards himself and had, I think, a pair of touchdowns. So what do you think of Lamar getting it over Derrick Henry this week?
I mean, when you leave a game, you come back at the very end, you throw the touchdown like it's needed. I mean, it's all there. I mean, yeah, two touchdowns are great, but to come back and be the savior of the game, I mean, yeah, Tucker helped too, but
right. It's a collective effort. Everybody helped.
Right, but I mean, coming back after you're in the locker room and coming back, that's why he's the offensive player of the week.
And that's where I was going with it. That's kind of what I feel, too, was the effect of, you know, pretty much having him absent. We were up 14. He gets whatever happened to him happens. He goes in the locker room. We magically are down one. He comes back in, and all's right. I mean, obviously, we ended up in a tie game in a situation, but he leads us down the field. He pretty much led two drives. Came in for one play, flicked a touchdown pass like it was nothing. And then not only that, but closing out the show as well on this note, how about Lamar celebrating on both of those occasions? Him running around with Hollywood, celebrating the touchdown, and then the game winner. That's where it is again. Lamar's having fun. He was having fun last Tuesday against the Cowboys. He's having fun again when this game. Lamar looks loose. Again, it could be dangerous going down the stretch, man, because – we talked about it on the last show. You know, maybe this break in COVID was a blessing because he got the reset, he got the rest, and it was kind of like a mini bye week for the MVP. He had almost a 2-week rest. He had missed one game? I think it was the Steelers game, which we probably easily could have won that if he was in there. Like to have that one back, but you know, yeah, I think he's well deserving of that honor again. Another feather in the cap for Lamar, AFC Player of the Week, notching a 115 passer rating. Again, man, he had a touchdown pass. He was very efficient, over 60% complete percent. I think it was near 64% completion percentage on the night. No turnovers for the Ravens in total. No picks, no fumbles. Ravens tried to force some of their own, but they got the pick by Bowser. That was something I certainly missed in the onset of the show when we're talking about the defensive woes. The one bright spot is set up the Dobbins touchdown. Bowser stepped in front of the pass from Baker and picked it off, read the route perfectly. And in the end, the Ravens got the one and only turnover they needed. And ultimately, they cashed in. And that was a great, great thing the Ravens did. You get the turnover and you put them points on board, not only three, but you cash it in for seven. So it goes for seven the other way. You take the ball out of their hands, the opportunity to score, and then you give yourself the opportunity to score, which they did. So it proved to be a difference in the game. And not only that, but the X factor with the kickers, right? Justin Tucker, Cody Parkey. Justin had a field goal blocked. Cody Parkey missed a field goal and an extra point. There's 4 points on the docket right there for the Browns. So in the matter of when you put things on the microscope in a close game, points are crucial. And it's been a weird year for kickers. Everybody's missing extra points and field goals left and right. So to have Justin Tucker, the best in the biz, we got to feel extra, extra special here at Ravens Nation because we got a kicker, man. We got the best. And we got to rely on when we need it. But, guys, it's stretch run time. It's December. I'm riding high off that emotional win. I know everybody is. Everybody, it's a talk of the town. It really feels good to wake up on a Victory Tuesday being a Monday night game and knowing that all is right. We can certainly ride high, and just know that this team got the probably the hardest games on this December stretch run, as we talked about, out of the way. Spose of the Brownies. They're gone until next year. Bye-bye. Welcome Jacksonville on Sunday. They're in for it because they know they got the Lamar show coming. Superman. Lamar going to ball out Sunday against the Jacksonville Jaguars. They come to Charm City. How about it, everybody? Why not make late Superman? And let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.